after they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Listen carefully now to verses 10 through 13. Jesus says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." He says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." And he says in verse 13, and this is the main thought that's on my heart, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, Jesus says, "Ye," and again now he's talking to the disciples, only to the disciples, he says to the disciples, "Ye are the salt of the earth." That's the main thought that I want us to think about. Then he gives the warning there. He says, "But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men." I want to think primarily about the fact that Jesus said about his disciples, he said, "Ye are the salt of the earth." That's a fairly common expression, even about people that don't know it's Jesus that originated that statement. It's a common expression that we hear sometimes. You know, they are the salt of the earth. What do people usually mean when they say that somebody, that person, that man or that woman or that family or those people over there, they are the salt of the earth? Just think about what do they usually mean when they mean that, when they say that. That person is the salt of the earth. What do they mean? Somebody tell me. That they're what? Okay, a person with very high standards, all right? What else do people mean when they say they're the salt of the earth? Okay, they're good people, very good people. Somebody else said something else. Okay, the hard-working people. You know, a lot of times, whenever an employer especially, if he's got somebody that's a real good employee, he'll say, "Now that's the salt of the earth. That's somebody that really works hard." We're talking about, when we talk about people that are the salt of the earth, we're talking about good people. We're talking about people that have high moral standards and values. We're talking about people who are leaders, people that are really individuals that make a major difference in our society. He says to his disciples, he says, "Now ye are the salt of the earth." Now, what is the purpose of salt? Let's talk a few minutes about what is the purpose of salt. And let me say this in the beginning, lest I forget it. Salt is cheap today in America, isn't it? You can get a big box of salt. It doesn't cost a lot of money. You can buy boxes and boxes of salt very cheaply in America today. But at the time Jesus spoke these words, in biblical times, salt was very, very expensive. Salt was hard to get. Salt, sometimes, at least part of the Roman soldiers' pay was in salt. They would give them some salt as part of their pay because of the value of salt. Salt was worth more per pound than gold was back then. Salt was of tremendous value. Now, the reason that salt was of such tremendous value is that salt has many, many different purposes that we don't know much about today. Salt has a tremendous purifying effect. Salt, how many of you remember country cured hams? How many of you remember old country cured hams? All right, now, Brother Bud, what did they cure those hams with?
Salt.
They'd take those hams and they would take that salt and rub the ham with salt, and that preserved that ham. Salt has a preserving effect. Salt has a purifying effect. Salt has a cleansing effect. Salt is of tremendous value, and in the biblical times, that seem to be of greater, far greater value than it is to us today. So when Jesus says to His disciples, you are the salt of the earth, He was talking about how precious they were, how valuable they were, and what a profound influence they had on society. A good influence on society. They had a purifying, they had a cleansing effect on society. When they were around people, when these disciples of Jesus Christ were around people, they were the salt of the earth. That is, they had a tremendous influence on other people because of the high moral standard that they have. Did you know when you're around people of low moral standards, you know it has an effect on you? And did you know that when you're around people with high moral standards, it has an effect on you? And so Jesus is saying now, those of you who are my disciples, you have a profound effect on other people. He talks all about how salt, all through the Scriptures, Old and New Testament, I've been amazed this week in studying, and I know I've probably preached on this text before, but I don't think I have ever realized how many different times and how many different ways the Word of God emphasizes the importance of salt. Did you know that? Do you remember that in the Old Testament they offered all kinds of offerings? Do you remember that? Meat offerings and all kinds of offerings. But this statement is made about all of those offerings that they made. God makes this statement that every offering you make will be made with salt. Salt was a part of the meat offering. Salt was a part of every offering they made. God commanded His people, don't you ever make an offering to me except it be seasoned with salt. Salt was a part of every offering the people ever made. Why? It's because of the purifying and cleansing effect that salt has. Now, usually when we think of salt, what do you think of salt for? Okay, to salt food, to make food taste better. That's about all we think about salt for. You know, pass the salt. Well, when somebody says pass the salt, are they talking about cleansing the food or purifying the food? Are they just talking about making it more palatable to the taste, making it taste better? But you know, you can get too much salt as far as food goes. You can take in, did you know that every one of you has salt in your body? You might say, no, I don't eat salt. Well, whether you do think or not, you have salt in your body. Every human body has about, depending on the weight of the person, but about a half a pound of salt is in your body. That's just the literal makeup of your body. Did you know that more organisms live in salty water? I'm talking about in the ocean, that there are more organisms that can live in the ocean than can live in a lake or a pond or a river or a stream. You know why? It's because of the purifying effect that salt water has. The bacteria is often killed by salt. Evil is put away by the influence of salt. You take even in cooking. This sister mentioned how salt is used in cooking. We like to add salt or put salt to flavor the food that we eat. Did you know that even in cooking, that salt has a profound effect on the things that you put the salt on? For example, if you're making bread, what are some of the main ingredients in bread? You have dough, but then what do you put in the dough to make? Brother David spoke on this, I believe, last Wednesday, this past Wednesday, on how you put what in bread to make it rise. What do you put in bread? To make it rise, what do you put? Yeast, which is also called leaven or yeast. You put that leaven in the dough. And what does that leaven make the yeast do? What does the yeast or leaven make the dough do? It makes it rise. Now, did you know? Now, I didn't really know this until Brother David was talking about it the other day, but salt has a negative effect on the yeast. Did you know that? Did you know that salt kills the yeast? Now, I want you to think about that because it's an important lesson connected with Jesus saying, ye are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. Salt kills what? Yeast. Yeast is also called leaven. Okay? Unleavened bread. In our communion service, we use unleavened bread. What is that? It's bread without what? Bread without yeast. Unleavened bread is very flat bread. And he says, the Word of God says, a little, you fill in the blank, a little blank, a little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. You take a big ball of dough, and you put just a little leaven in it, and what happens when you put that leaven in the bread, in the dough? It just permeates the whole ball of dough. It goes all through that ball of dough. Well, guess what happens if you put salt in where you put the dough in? The salt has a negative effect, and it kills the yeast. Now, what's the purpose there? What's the point there? The point is that when God's Word says a little leaven, leaven in the Word of God usually has reference to sin. Did you know that? When he says a little leaven, leaven is the whole lump. He's saying a little sin, when sin is allowed to stay in your life and you accept sin and you say, well now, it's okay for me to have this sin in my life, a little sin will permeate your whole body. But what does salt do to that leaven? Salt kills that leaven. Salt kills the yeast. And so, what's Jesus saying here? He's saying that when the people of God, when they are what they ought to be, they are the salt of the earth. And when they are the salt of the earth, what effect do those people of God who are the salt of the earth have on those that are living ungodly? What effect do they have? It has a purifying, a cleansing effect. It puts away evil. Salt, if you're the salt of the earth, it has a cleansing effect on all those who are around you. For example, do you remember God told Abraham He was going to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? Do you remember that? Going to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you remember how Abraham said, well now Lord, are You going to destroy the righteous with the wicked? In other words, in Sodom and Gomorrah, he had a nephew. Are You going to destroy the righteous with the wicked? And God said, no, I won't destroy the righteous with the wicked. Abraham said, if I find 50 righteous there, in other words, if I find 50 people that are the salt of the earth, if I find 50 righteous people in all that leaven, are You going to throw out those 50 righteous people? Would You spare that whole city if there's 50 that are the salt of the earth there? He said, yeah, I'll spare it. If there's 50 righteous people there, I'll spare the whole city. You see that? What was God saying? God said, if there's 50 righteous people there, if there's 50 people there that are the salt of the earth, I'll spare the whole lump. If there's 50 righteous people there, there's enough 50. If there are 50 righteous people there, there's enough salt. There's enough righteousness there that I will spare the whole city. There's enough righteousness there. If there are 50 people in that city, there's enough righteousness there that they will permeate all that evil. And Sodom would have been cleansed if there had been 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom. What did Abraham then say? Well, he knew finding 50 that were the salt of the earth in the city of Sodom might be a pretty big task. So he said, well, Lord, what if there's 40 there? Will You spare it for 40? Yeah, I'll spare it for 40's sake. What about 30, Lord? If I can just find 30 in the city of Sodom, would You spare it? Yeah, I'll spare it for 30. Do you remember how he came right on down? You know what the problem was? What was the problem? Why was Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed? It's because a little leaven had done what in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? A little leaven, a little sin had permeated the whole cities. Why? Because there wasn't enough something in the city. Wasn't enough what? Wasn't enough righteousness. Wasn't enough salt. That's right. Salt, as you study the Word of God, salt is equated to righteousness. Brother David said righteousness. Brother Mike said salt. Same thing. Salt represents righteousness and godliness. And that's what Jesus says to His disciples. He says, you are the salt of the earth. And I can say that about some of you in this congregation. I can say you are the salt of the earth. That is, you have a cleansing, a purifying, you have a purging effect when you're around other people. You have an influence for good on other people. And God's Word says that a little leaven, a little sin, leavens the whole lump. But what does a little salt do? A little salt will purify the whole lump. A little salt gets rid of the leaven, kills the sin, which results in the whole body being spared. Do you see that? What about the United States of America? Do you know the only reason the United States of America has not been spared is because there's just enough salt still left that God hasn't destroyed our nation. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are still enough individuals in the United States of America that are the salt of the earth. They have enough godliness, they have enough righteousness that so far God has had mercy and grace on America and has not destroyed America because there are still enough that are the salt of the earth. And I thank God for the privilege I have of knowing individuals who are the salt of the earth. And I think that all of us need to thank God for those who are the salt of the earth. Used to be a dear old saint here, her grandson's here today. One of the founding members of this church. Sister Queen Waters. You know what she was? Oh, man. I don't believe you'd find a human being in this town that wouldn't say, now that was the salt of the earth. And I'm not saying that to glorify her. I'm just saying I thank God. I thank God that she loved God, feared God, served God, and was a saint of God. And in spite of all of her shortcomings, and she did, she was not an absolutely perfect person, but there was enough salt in her, there was enough righteousness in her, that whatever unrighteousness was there, I want you to please, I'm talking about in a practical way. Now, I'm not talking about fundamentally, it's not your righteousness that gets you into eternal heaven. Do you understand that? It's not by my works, not of our works, not according to our works that we get into eternal heaven. You will not be in the eternal heaven because of your righteousness. You'll be in the eternal heaven because of other kind of salt, pure salt, 100% pure. You'll be in the eternal heaven because of the pure righteousness of Jesus Christ. But there, the kingdom of heaven, if you go back and look at this whole passage in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, there's one subject he's talking about. What is the subject? Kingdom of heaven. He's already mentioned it in the few verses I've read. He's already mentioned kingdom of heaven five times in these first few verses. If you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven, if you're going to stay out of the hell while you live on this earth, you know what you've got to be? You've got to be the salt of the earth. I'm telling you this morning, brethren, that if you're not the salt of the earth and you're a child of God, you're going to live in some hell while you're here on this earth. If you are a child of God, if you've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, if you've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, if He is your Savior, you better be the salt of the earth. Because if you're not going to be the salt of the earth, Jesus will come and He'll send forth some fire. Fiery judgments in your life that'll destroy and devour you. Why? Well, why did He destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone? There was something lacking there. You know what was lacking there? Salt. Wasn't enough salt. Wasn't enough righteousness there. Wasn't enough godliness there. Okay, we want to hold that. That's right, but I want to hold that. Now, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Is that true in your personal life? Do you have a little leaven in your life? A little sin? Little sin. Here's another expression the Bible makes. Beware of the little foxes. They'll destroy the vine. These little sins. Sometimes you think, well, I hear many people say, you know, I'm not a drunkard. I'm not an adulterer. Don't tell me that. Listen, brethren, it doesn't take but a little sin, a little leaven. That's what Jesus, God's Word says over and over. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. We've got to have righteousness. I'm not saying you've got to have more righteousness than you do unrighteousness. I'm saying that when you've got salt in you, that salt is going to drive out the leaven. It's going to kill the leaven. It's going to purge the leaven. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 5, after it says a little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump, the next verse says, purge out therefore the old leaven. When I love God, when I love Jesus Christ, when I'm a real disciple of Jesus Christ, I'm going to be looking for things that are wrong in me. And when I find those things that are wrong, I'm going to try to get rid of those things. I was talking with a dear brother yesterday. I said, how are you doing? Well, I'm doing pretty good. And I don't remember exactly how the conversation went, but it went something like this. I said, well, you're living right, you're doing right. He said, well, the good that I would, I do not, and the evil that I would not, that I do. And that's what he says almost every time. I said, now listen. I said, you already said that enough. You know what was I trying to get across to him? Of course, I love him with all my heart. And I think he's trying very hard to be a Christian. I think he is a disciple of Christ. He's a Christian. And he was acknowledging, I'm falling short. I'm still falling short. But do we sometimes, do you ever feel like, well, I'm not what I ought to be, but God understands that. Have you ever felt that way? I'm not what I ought to be, but I'm pretty happy. How many of you, if you'd be honest, I know I get like that sometimes. I know I'm not what I ought to be, but I'm not working harder to improve my condition. Do you see what I'm saying? And it's, God's not satisfied with us reaching some particular plateau and saying, well, I'm a whole lot better than Joe and Sam and Susie and Dave and Harry. That's not good enough. And it's not good enough for us to acknowledge, well, we're sinners. We're all going to fall short of the glory of God. That's not good enough. I need to be working every day to purge out the old leaven. I need to work every day to be the salt, pure salt, 100% pure salt. You know, another trick that people used back in the biblical times, as I've studied in some of the Bible encyclopedias and dictionaries, one of the tricks they used was they'd take salt and they would mix things with the salt so that if they sold a half a pound of salt, it was really maybe 3 ounces of salt, and the rest of it would be either sand or sugar or something else mixed in with the salt. You see what they would do? You know, that's the way some of us are. We look on the outside like we're salt, but what? What's on the inside? All right, dead men's bones. We appear outwardly to be clean and pure, but inwardly we're full of dead men's bones. You see, I need to be pure salt, outside, inside. What you see ought to be what's in me. Whatever I think is important, whatever I feel, whatever I believe. Let me ask you this. Is false doctrine false doctrine? Do you need to get rid of that false doctrine? Do you ever have false beliefs? Do you ever have beliefs that are contrary to the Word of God? You know what you better do? You better purge out that old leaven. That's sin. False beliefs are sin. And the only thing that will purge out that sin is the truth of God's Word. This is salt. It's when I follow God's Word that I become the salt of the earth. And I need to be the salt of the earth. And you need to be the salt of the earth. This church needs to be the salt of the earth. Did the apostles, these 12 disciples of Jesus Christ, the 12 apostles, did they have a profound effect on the Jews and on the places they went and the people they were around, and the people that heard what they preached, did they have a profound effect on those people? Yes, they did. In fact, here's one of the statements that was made about them that caused people to hate them. He says, they have turned the world upside down. Well, you know how they turned the world upside down? They looked to God for the strength and grace they needed to stand up and be a good Christian, be a good disciple, to be the salt of the earth. And God gave them that ability. God gave them that strength, and they were strong spiritual leaders that had a profound effect on everybody else. Thank God for those who are the salt of the earth. Go back in your Bibles just a moment. Back up in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 2. I want you to listen very quickly to 2 Kings chapter 2. There was in the city of Jericho. Now, usually when you think about Jericho, what do you think? Any of you children? What do you think of when you think of Jericho? When you think of Jericho, what do you think about? All right, you think about the walls came what? Tumbling down. That's Jericho. That's the city we're talking about right now. We're in 2 Kings. This is much later. But in 2 Kings chapter 2, 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. In Jericho right now, there was a problem in Jericho. Elisha was a great man of God. Were Elisha and Elijah, would you call them the salt of the earth? Oh, yes. I tell you, you don't find many better salt shakers than those two. They had a profound influence for good. And let me mention this about salt. What value is salt if you hide it up in your cabinet? What value is salt? If you keep it in the salt shaker, what value is salt? When is salt of value? Yes, when it's used, when it gets out of the salt shaker. Let me tell you something. As long as you keep your Christianity hid in you, as long as you're not out there having an influence on society, you being the salt of the earth doesn't amount to a hill of beans. But when you, as the salt of the earth, you get out there and you start having an influence on others for good, can you change other people's lives by the grace of God? Can you have an effect on other people's lives? You might not change them permanently, but you can change them to some degree while you're around them, can't you? Can you change people while you're around them? I think you can. If they refuse to change while you're around them, what do you need to do? If they're going to live ungodly, what do you need to do? Leave them alone. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. But listen, as long as you can be around somebody and have an influence for good and work toward changing their lives, you need to work to change their lives. What are you when you're doing that? You're the salt of the earth. The salt of the earth. 2 Kings chapter 2, the Word of God talks about how in Jericho the water... Now, there's two different ways you can read this. I'll read it to you and you can see what you think. But it can either be that the water was polluted or it can be that the water was dried up. Okay? You read it and you listen. But I want you to see there was a cure for the problem they had with the water. 2 Kings chapter 2, beginning in verse 19, the Word of God says, "And the men of the city said unto Elisha, Behold, I pray thee, the situation of the city is pleasant as my Lord seeth. But..." In other words, were there a lot of right things, good things in Jericho? The situation in the city is pleasant, but the water is naught and the ground barren. And he said, that is Elisha said, "Bring me a new cruse," and what's the next phrase say? "Put salt therein." Bring me a cruse, bring me a pitcher, and put some salt in the pitcher. Put salt therein, and they brought it to him, and he went forth unto the spring of the waters, and cast the salt in there, and said, "Thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land." So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elijah, which he spake. What happened to those waters, whether you look at this as being that waters were dried up, or whether you look at them as being polluted, what happened when the salt was put into the spring of the waters? It was purified. It was cleansed. And what happened then? The land was no longer barren, but began to bring forth fruit. And the people thrived in the city of Jericho because of one thing, the salt. You know what will make this church thrive? All we need to do is if we'll advertise in the paper this week that we're going to give out, we're going to give bicycles to every child next week. We're going to give prizes. And I'll get up on, if you'll get 500 people here next Sunday, I'll get up on top of the church building and I'll preach from the top of the church building and I'll swallow a goldfish. You know what all that is? Give me the word that we're looking for. Give me it all. It's leaven. Oh, y'all had a lot of different words, but it boiled down to one word that I was looking for, and that's leaven. That's trash. That's trash. That's not any way for the church to grow, prosper. That's not the salt. You know what the only way is that God will add to this church? I'll tell you, you can add a bunch of leaven to the church. Did you know that? We don't want any leaven in the church. Not any leaven in the church. You know what we want? We want the salt of the earth here. You know what will attract salt? You know what will produce more salt? You know what will get rid of leaven? Is the truth of God's Word and the people of God walking in the truth. When you're the salt of the earth, you know what will happen? It'll have a purging effect. Anybody that wants to can come here. Can homosexuals come here and worship? Can homosexuals come here and worship? Absolutely. Absolutely they can come here and worship. But I'll tell you what they'll hear. They'll hear that homosexuality is an abomination in the sight of God. And they're going to hear the fact that God's Word condemns it. And if they don't want to experience the judgments of God, they better repent. There's no beating around the bush. We've got to be the salt of the earth. Don't be afraid of people running away from the church. If they run because of the salt of God's Word, let them go. Let it go. I heard a little program on television the other day. He said, "I'll tell you something in one word, let it go." She said, "That's three words." He said, "To me, it's one word, let it go." Listen, brethren, we need the salt of the earth. We need to be the salt of the earth. We need to pray that God will help us to be the salt of the earth. I want to be the salt of the earth, and I pray that you will want to be the salt of the earth, that we can have a cleansing effect, a purifying effect. Let me just say one thing in closing. After Jesus said, "But ye are the salt," He said, "Ye are the salt of the earth," talking to His disciples. And that's the only ones who are the salt of the earth, is those who are following Christ, being disciples of Christ, being pure, trying to serve God every day, 7 days a week. That's a disciple of Christ. That's the salt of the earth. But He says, but, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, it stands forth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Now, can you lose your saltiness? Can you who are salt, can you lose your saltiness? And if you lose your saltiness, I don't care how long you've been a faithful servant of God, disciple of Christ, if you ever stop being a disciple of Christ, you have lost your saltiness. And if the salt has lost its savor, Jesus says this, you're good for nothing. You ever heard of anybody being good for nothing? That's the opposite end of the spectrum of being the salt of the earth, isn't it? I remember my daddy said that to me one time. It crushed me. I was on the wrong track and doing wrong, and he was whipping me, and it didn't seem to be having a lot of effect. He said, "You're just good for nothing." Now that crushed me. Can you imagine? But did I need to hear it? Did I need to hear that? Well, it had a sobering effect on me. I didn't want to be good for nothing. I didn't want my daddy to think I was good for nothing. I wanted to be good for everything. And it had a sobering effect. Jesus says, if you've lost your saltiness, you're good for nothing. But to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Can you and I, can we be cast out? You remember Jesus in Matthew 25 he had five, two, and one talent servants. What happened to that one talent servant that buried his talent and he was not salty? What happened to him? Yes. Matthew 5, verse 28 through 30, the Word of God says, Cast ye the unprofitable servant into what? Outer darkness, where there should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Was that a servant of God? Had he been given talents by God? Had he used his talents? Had he been salty? He had not been salty. So what happened to him? He says, if the salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Was the Apostle Paul, was he the salt of the earth? Was Paul the salt of the earth? But you know what Paul said? He said, "I keep my body under subjection, lest I myself should become a castaway." A castaway. Did you know you can become a castaway? Though you might be the salt of the earth today, you need to pray every day, "God, keep me as the salt of the earth. Help me to always be the salt of the earth." Because if I stop being the salt of the earth, I'm going to become a castaway, trodden under the foot of men, good for nothing. Now, I'll tell you, when God says it, it's a whole lot worse than when your daddy says it. May God help us to be good, to be good, to be the salt of the earth, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.